the strait is narrow. One boat blocks 10 behind it, and 10,000 supply chains feel the pause. The BBC reports that Houthi attacks on shipping in the Red Sea, specifically at Bab al-Mandeb, where a third of global maritime trade moves through, are now threatening to rewire how goods reach the world. Insurance costs climb, carriers reroute, the blockade is already working. What matters here is not just the immediate disruption, but that a single choke point, squeezed hard enough, can reset the terms of global commerce without a formal declaration of anything. Hypatia of Alexandria takes this first, then Benjamin Franklin.
The street you name, Bab al-Mandeb, we knew as the Gate of Tears. Grain ships from Egypt passed through those narrows on their way to Constantinople. When the Axumites held the far shore, or when the Himyarites closed the gate, the capital starved. Constantinople learned what Alexandria had always known. Grain moves only when the water is safe, and the water is safe only when the power that holds the shore is stronger than the power that raids it. In my Alexandria, the grain fleet sailed for Constantinople under imperial escort. When the Goths cut the Danube supply, when the Vandals took Carthage, when the Persians took Egypt, the capital starved. The emperor had laws. The prefect had edicts. The patriarch had prayers. The grain did not move until the ships moved. Your Houthi missiles are not new. The weapon changes. The strait does not. The insurance markets you mention, they are the modern equivalent of the Annona insurance the prefects tried to write. It did not work then either. The premium became the cargo. What you call global economic risk, we called Annona failure. The difference is only that your grain moves in containers and feeds machines as well as bellies. The strait does not care. The strait has always been the place where empire discovers whether it still holds the shore.
The coffee house crowd reads the same sheet I do. The strait at the mouth of the Red Sea, the Bab al-Mandeb they call it, where the Houthi cannon now make free with Saudi hulls. You know the feeling. Your venture rides a bottom that must pass that gate, and the underwriters at Lloyd's have already doubled the premium. In 78, the Bordeaux merchants wrote to us that their cutters dared not sail without convoy, and the Jamaica fleet huddled together like sheep before the wolf. The insurance on a tobacco hogshead from Virginia to Nantes tripled in a season. Paper money in the States ran to 700 million livres, and every interrupted voyage pushed the price higher still. A maxim, he who commands the narrow passage commands the price of every commodity that passes through it. The French understood this when they sent La Motte to Piquet to intercept the English trade. The British understood it when they blockaded our ports. The Houthi understands it now. The difference is that no great power stands ready to clear the lane with a squadron of the line. The carriers divert around the Cape, weeks added, fuel burned, crews exhausted, and the cost settles on the merchant who passes it to the shopkeeper who passes it to you. I once proposed an entrepot at Marseille to steady the tobacco market. The Empress Queen forbade it. Trade finds its way, but not without friction. The empty sack cannot stand upright.
The story ran in BBC News. Shipping through the Bab al-Mandeb has always moved grain and goods. Now it moves fear of disruption itself, a different cargo through the same strait. That's old news for today.